Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, February 15th, 2017. Again, just to kind of give some context as far as the contrived sides are concerned, we're listening to Tucker Carlson's interview of middle school teacher and by any means necessary leader and one of the UC Berkeley protest leaders, Yvette Falarca, explain fascism and talk about the mechanics and dynamics of it. So continuing with that, here we go.
It's someone who's committing violence?
And it's someone who's committing violence and who's trying to organize other people to commit violence.
Okay.
And Milo Yiannopoulos is a fascist.
Okay, so he's committed acts of violence against the protected groups you mentioned?
Well, what he's doing is he's trying to be the youth face and the token that other people who are organizing violence try to hide behind. And
right.
So in all of his talks all over the country, what Yiannopoulos has done is whip up a whole lynch mob mentality where people who come to see him or his supporters not only agree with his views, but also attack other people. And that was certainly true in Washington State when one of his supporters came and actually shot an anti-fascist protester. But in Berkeley, we made sure that didn't happen because we were able to shut him down.
So, but you're conceding that Milo himself has not committed acts of violence, and nor has he incited violence. By the legal definition, he'd be in jail if he did. But you're saying that because people who agree with him have committed violence, he should not be allowed to speak.
You know, fascist movement takes many forms, and it always tries to have one form that looks respectable and a little bit milder. But Yiannopoulos isn't just a stand-up comedian, and he isn't someone who just has ideas and posts them up on YouTube. He's someone who was funded by Breitbart and Steve Bannon to go around to college campuses to try to recruit other young people to then conduct those attacks on his behalf and on Trump's behalf. But I'm really, really glad to say that thousands of us were out there last week, or February 1st, and made sure that there were thousands of us to make sure that we defended our campus, this community, and especially the immigrant and Muslim students who were under attack and have been under attack by him and other fascists.
Right, and by using violence, I mean, you don't shy away from that by any means necessary, is the name of your group, and so it implies violence. So what should we do with fascists? I mean, if you think that someone is espousing genocide, what should we do with them? I mean, should that person be allowed to walk free? Should we put him in jail? Should we kill him? Should we exile him? I mean, what? It's a sincere question. If you're willing to use violence because you think someone is espousing genocide, what's the penalty for that?
Well, first, we've got to make sure we nip it in the bud, and we make sure that they're not allowed to recruit and act as if it's respectable to call for the mass murder of millions of people, in fact, millions who make up the majority of people in this nation at this point.
Okay,
and so they
just
can't
just
hide
to be clear, there's no Milo Yiannopoulos, this is not a defense of him, just a factual point, has not ever said that, in public anyway, not that we have a record of. There's no evidence that he has called for the genocide of anybody, as you know, but you're saying by transference in some way, he inspires people who believe that, I guess. But you're not getting my question. Like, what would you say, nip in the bud? Should he be allowed to go on the subway and talk to the guy next to him about perhaps joining his movement? Or should he be allowed to talk to people in restaurants? Or what should we do with the fascist who you believe is inspiring genocide?
So first of all, the alt-right is a neo-fascist movement. And they're trying to hide behind some softer versions of their more open counterparts who identify themselves as Nazis. But they're still part of the same movement, first of all. Second of all, when someone is trying to speak at a campus or at a rally, they're doing it not just because they have an opinion, but someone like Yiannopoulos or any other alt-righter or fascist or neo-fascist is doing it to recruit other people.
Huh.
No, we don't let them recruit. And in fact, when you look back at the Holocaust and the lessons that we draw from that, we don't say, oh, well, at least we let them voice their opinion. We say never again.
Okay,
well,
when we say that, after Trump. We elevate people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer or members of the plot against the leader of Nazi Germany to kill him. So, I mean, that was the response, of course, to the leader of that fascist movement. Most people think it was legitimate. Do you think, you're not answering my question, that people like Milo, who you've decided are fascists, should be allowed to speak in public? You said they weren't allowed to speak at Berkeley.
He should not
be allowed to speak in public
to spread his racist and misogynistic and homophobic lies. No, he does not have the right to do that.
What about
when he's using his speech to whip up attacks on people? No, he doesn't have the right to do that.
So
to spread lies about our humanity? No, he doesn't.
Okay, so you're not allowed to say things that you think are untrue. Well, I mean, of course, in the case of Berkeley,
no, that's not what I said. Okay. I didn't say you're not allowed to say things that are untrue. But if you're trying to spread racism and hostility, misogyny, rape, whip up people to lynch people, or to certainly have that mentality to rape people or to lynch them, absolutely not. And any decent human being, whether it was in a classroom or at a restaurant, if they heard someone doing that, would turn around and tell them, you need to stop talking. You are not welcome here. This is not a safe environment. You need to go. Well, that's what we did at UC Berkeley,
and that was a good thing. Hit them or set fire. So you're a middle school teacher, which may surprise some of our students, or rather some of our viewers, that you have students. The First Amendment was always kind of the cornerstone of American civic life, the idea that you have the right to say something that other people may vehemently disagree with, but you have that right. It's enshrined in the Bill of Rights. Do you teach that to your students?
The First Amendment is about free speech, but that's not an abstraction. And if there was someone in my classroom who was espousing rape or genocide or attacks on Muslims, I would certainly make sure that I stood up for the rest of my students and told them they need to stop. And if they refused to, they would need to leave.
Would you hit them?
In fact, fascism...
I'm not finished yet.
Okay. And I'm not finished yet. If there is a fascist in any situation that I was in, I would call for other people to take action too. But it's not just about the immediate moment.
Right.
It's also within the context of building a movement.
But I don't want this to be abstract.
There is a movement against Donald Trump
I want to bring this back to the concrete, as you said, and rightly so. So if there was a student in your class who started espousing what you believe is fascism, and you said you need to leave, you need to be quiet, you need to leave, and he didn't leave, would you hit him as you hit that protest? Would you beat him up?
No, of course not. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about people who, you know what? In Sacramento, there were fascists who had knives tied at the ends of sticks, and they stabbed people, including
us. Not the man that you hit. He looked kind of unarmed to me.
Oh, yes, actually, they did. And it's funny to you, but it's actually not funny to the rest of us. And that's why we take this really seriously.
I know that you take it seriously, and that's why I'm asking you a really simple question.
But I am serious as a heart. I am serious as a heartbeat,
too. Well, I believe you. Oh, I believe that you're serious.
And we're not talking about a classroom. We're talking about people who are trying to kill and murder people and who've already done it.
I got it.
And who are trying to create a hostile environment on these campuses in order to do that. No, that's not a safe environment for immigrant students. That's not a safe environment for women or Muslim students or trans students.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we have a right
to
defend ourselves and real freedom.
Let me ask you one last question, Eva, if I may. So if you're standing, I just want to know, like, the protocol for anti-fascist activists like yourself. You're standing on a street corner, someone starts saying something you don't like, and you think, boy, that's an act of hostility, that person's a fascist.
You are misrepresenting the words that I've been saying. This isn't about something.
This isn't
about Ben and Jerry's versus stone cold pizza or something.
Uh-huh.
This is about the lives of real people, immigrants who are under attack now, Muslims who are being massacred,
and I'm
women who are being raped.
How deep is your commitment?
So you're the one trivializing this, not me.
I'm not in any way trivializing. And I ask you a sincere question. To what extent would you go to stop that person from spreading genocidal propaganda?
I would call for people to counter-protest, to stand up, and to shut down any attempts to fascistly recruit and organize.
Like, what if I want to keep talking? I'm saying something that you find appalling. But you know what? I've got a First Amendment right. I'm an American. What would you do? So a bunch of people come and say, stop that. I say, no, I'm not going to stop that. I'm an American. What are you going to do next?
You want to talk about the First Amendment? Coretta Scott King's letter wasn't allowed to be read on the floor of the Senate last week under the Constitution in the Senate.
That's exactly what happened.
And yet, at the same time, you're the one then who's actually trying to defend someone like a fascist speaking and recruiting at a college campus.
All right, Yvette,
I'm proud to say that we all stood up and shut
him
down.
Rights. All right, thanks for coming on and showing us what you believe. Up next, teachers at a Virginia high school are posting.
There you go. That's one example. So, I mean, what you should, I think, see clearly in that is the whipping up of the frenzy or the lynch mob that Yvette Filarka talks about on both sides of the discussion. Unfortunately, it seems there is no cooler head in the discussion to prevail. And I think it's ironic that she mentions what Milo Yiannopoulos has done is whip up a whole lynch mob mentality where people come to see him when her group is by any means necessary, which is an allusion to the Machiavellian phrase, the end justifies the means. And when I say Machiavellian, I don't mean a good thing. It's a bad thing. When we start to devolve into Machiavellian behavior, what we essentially do is balkanize ourselves amongst ourselves, and we become islands. Some people call them silos or whatever. If we want to talk about isolationism, Machiavellianism is the ultimate isolationist strategy, because eventually, you know, all you have around you are enemies. The enemy of my enemy is my friend for a time, but eventually we're all enemies. That's what's happening in the world. So these kinds of Machiavellian sentiments, by any means necessary. I mean, it's ironic for a group and a person in particular that seeks to lobby for and crusade for equality for a disenfranchised minority, if you will. The phrase by any means necessary. I mean, again, this gets to the point of things like Black History Month. We're in the middle of Black History Month. If I ran around with a sign that said, I started campaigning for White History Month, people would be outraged. Yvette Falarka is a diminutive Asian lady who is a leader of the group by any means necessary. And if I were to start a group called By Any Means Necessary, she would probably call me a neo-fascist without really knowing anything about me. The point is, again, all sides are contrived. It is a fomented conflict. I don't know about you, but I don't want any of these specious monikers, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative. When I guest hosted the National Intel Report last week, I remember Ron McDonald asking me what I thought about the these, what I would call specious monikers, liberal and conservative in particular, in view of what the founding fathers would view as the definition of those terms. And I said in essence that I think that the terms have been conscripted, co-opted and conscripted, obviously, like so many other things, so many other terms and so many other things, and have been twisted to mean the complete opposite in Orwellian doublethink fashion of what they were originally intended to mean. And when you understand the effects on the dynamics of society, those kinds of small, seemingly subtle, seemingly imperceptible changes have, reading books like Arnold J. Toynbee's Study of Civilization, his 12-volume series, focusing on the impact that language has, then you realize how profound a shift can be caused just by those little changes. These thought leaders leading people astray at every turn. So when I listen to Yvette Falarka being interviewed by Tucker Carlson, what I hear on both sides of the discussion, quite frankly, is exactly what Mike Huckabee talked about in that CFR foreign policy speech, that I always refer to, where he said it about as well as it could be said. It's interesting. Why can't we see that? You know, Tucker's point is somewhat specious when he says that Milo Yiannopoulos has not done anything violent or called for any violence. Well, Yvette Falarca could probably say the same thing, sort of. None of the leaders have called for violence, but this group is responsible for violence and destruction of property on a school campus. So those, and the same could be said of Yiannopoulos groupies or followers. It's like WWF wrestling. It's neither side is real. There is no real opposition to what's happening. The sides are contrived. The conflicts are all fomented, which is why the press harps on these. So back to Huckabee's words from that foreign policy speech back in 2007 that I always refer back to, because he said it as well as it could be said. And this is not to say that he was telling some big secret that people need to know, revealing some truth. He was prostrating himself before the power elite, as Senior at Mills would say, in his interview for the job of president during the 2008 presidential election cycle. But he said during that speech, besides the threat of small groups of educated people launching isolated attacks, see, that's why the moderate intellectuals are always attacked by totalitarian regimes. I think it was Mao, paraphrasing loosely, who said, you know, greatest threat is an idea. Besides sort of small groups of educated people launching isolated attacks, we face the danger of mass movements of the dispossessed and discontented rising up. We see more and more people, the other rising of groups, and since there is a growing level of discomfort in America for a number of people, there are more and more of these people drawn into these mass movements of the dispossessed and discontented that Huckabee was talking about rising up. They're drawn into these groups. All of these Linskyite community organizer type groups that have really become popularized in Obama and post-Obama era. Everyone wants to have a voice. The Women's March nonsense. I mentioned that I've subscribed to their nonsense. It doesn't make any sense. They send these emails out. Get together. Talk about nothing. March for what? For nothing. Why? It's just, it's unbelievable. Listening to the hypocrisy of Yvette Falarca being interviewed by Tucker Carlson, she has valid points in her definition of fascism. She has valid points. But does it escape her attention that her group is doing the same thing that she is so deeply polarized against? They're doing the same thing. So does it escape attention, or is that perhaps intentional? So to finish Huckabee's quote, he said, to create havoc in the world, you need educated people, the intellectuals, to provide the intellectual underpinnings, technocrats, if you will, and poor, desperate people to provide the manpower. They are the cannon fodder, as always. Kissinger-esque remark. Before the Russian Revolution, the rural peasants who formed the overwhelming bulk of the population weren't sitting around reading Karl Marx. They were illiterate. I would say the vast majority of America today is functionally illiterate. It took a small number of intellectuals to provide and rally oppressed peasants. And for what? What is he talking about? The Russian Revolution. What do we see happening in America today? Continuing, he said, the ruling class is the spark, but the underclass is the fuel. A strong middle class is the firewall, and what was routed in the Obama years, but the middle class. The firewall was eviscerated substantially during the Obama years in particular. Interesting how that always works. the war on anything seems to be the war on whatever the thing is. So Barack Obama says he's for the middle class, and I guess that means routing the middle class, because that's what we saw. Anyway, hopefully that makes sense. I don't know if you see it, but it seems very clear. And so where are the... Let's try this again, shall we? Ridiculous. Sorry about that. The only other thing I would add, and we need to go to the phones. is when it comes to the discussion that Tucker Carlson and Yvette Filarco had, is that perhaps she certainly, and maybe both of them, should investigate R.J. Rummel's book, Death by Government, because the hysterical frenzy that they are whipping up is not good. Again, I don't know how else to say it. Cooler heads must prevail. Virtue, morality, and religion is the order of the day. And if we can't seem to get that through our heads, we will be victimized by ourselves. And this is what always happens. Again, I'm redundant at this point. I don't know what else to say. Thomas Jefferson was absolutely right when he advocated for his bill for the more general diffusion of knowledge. Why wouldn't we want to guard against the erosion of even good government over time? As he put it, you know, certain forms of government are better calculated than others to protect individuals in the free exercise of their natural rights. At the end of the day, in the final analysis, isn't that what the Yvette Filarcos want? If not, then what is the more nefarious agenda or motive beneath these activities? Do we not agree that the free exercise of one's natural rights is desirable by all? If it is, then let's work toward that. And as Jefferson said, in time and by slow operations, even the best governments are perverted into tyranny, even by the men of our choice, as he might say. And the most effectual means of preventing this is to illuminate as far as practicable the minds of the people at large, and more especially to give them knowledge of those facts which history exhibiteth, that possess thereby of the experience of other ages and countries, they may be enabled to know ambition under all its shapes and prompt to exert their natural powers to defeat its purposes. We should be able to spot the Marxist rhetoric at the first outcropping of it, at the first obvious sign of it. The fact that we can't is, or that people aren't, generally speaking, is frightening. I don't know about you, but I think it's a terrifying prospect. Go to the phones after this short break. Stick around. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, "I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you." Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit MyDryHome.com. That's MyDryHome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Again, there's so much to talk about, but it really comes down to that. I mean, so many of the talking points, the ongoing Trump administration pillory, as I would call it, phrases like the political equivalent of 9/11. Michael Morell, you know, has used that phrase, and others recently obviously have glommed onto it. The Russian hacking nonsense, there's still no evidence in the echo chamber, which is a logical fallacy, a reification fallacy of sorts. Netanyahu's visit today, that's interesting. Just listening to him grates on my nerves. And just more nonsense, more of these talking point nonsense. The contrived conflict again in the Middle East. Getting back to yesterday's point, the Russia echo chamber spy ship now 33 miles off the East Coast. Not unusual, but obviously in the echo chamber, that being seized upon as an opportunity. Speaking of Russia, I mean, what about the thousands of troops we've deployed close to the Russian border recently? And what about the DOD's recent disclosure of the use of depleted uranium? What about the Western intelligence community influencing elections itself? It's an age-old practice, state-of-the-art, when it comes to the CIA. Just all kinds of nonsense. Anyway, so much to talk about, but we need to go to the phones. It's all the same nonsense, isn't it? Let's go to the phones and grab Fred in Iowa. Fred, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, I couldn't hear my name. Is it Fred? Chris?
It is Fred. Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, Fred.
I can see. Yesterday, I had cataract surgery on my port running light or my left eye. And
right on.
From 95% blindness to 60% in 24 hours, and it's improving by the hour. But I never seen so much when I went to the vet's hospital. It's a big one. And the staff and the patients that were there, you know, servicemen, the kindness, the courtesy, and the compassion, and the eye contact, and people would press the buttons for the elevator and give you directions, and even walk, I'm exaggerating, a half a mile to lead you to the room or the floor. And I was very moved by that. But, you know, I like to talk face-to-face. I get a little intimidated over the radio, but I don't get intimidated face-to-face. And I'd bring up the subject in different waiting rooms, you know, and I would start it out and say, I'm against war. Oh, yeah, everybody chimed in, old men in wheelchairs, and, I mean, older, even some of them older than me. And young people... Yeah, I'm against war. I said, I'm on talk radio. I'm a caller. I said, one of the main things I talk about is don't join the military. And their faces went blank, you know. And they didn't know how to take that. And old men, young women... And then I'd bring it up to doctors. And also when I seen the pharmacist, I told her, after, you know, I said, what's in this such and such medication? And then I said, I've told over 1,500 people face to face. And then I moved closer to her and looked at her in the eye and I said, don't get a vaccine or a flu shot. And the smugness and the contriteness, she looked at me, and I'll tell you the smugness of ignorance, be it a doctor, a lawyer, butcher man, baker, Joe Blow, the smugness of ignorance is just exasperating.
Yep.
So... I talk to people, you know, and ask them their views, start a conversation. And there was one woman in a waiting room that I talked to. She's about the age of my daughter, 55. And she was a practical nurse, you know, wasn't active in that business now. We got into a conversation, and anyhow, I told her, I said, you made my day. And she said, you made my day. And she was telling me about her son from Iraq. He's tried to commit suicide 3 times. And he don't believe in God or anything. And that wasn't his upbringing. And eventually her son come up there when she had to leave. And, you know, I shook hands with him and told him what a great mother he had. And, you know, I said... I enjoyed talking to her. But here's the thing. I said, maybe you and your husband caused this. And I said, and she looked at me, no. And I said, well, give me a chance to explain this. I said, you know, fathers that have sons and daughters that tell them to go to war, and I, you know, and I come up with this spiel, well, you can get a free education and all you have to do is go over there and kill those women and children in them countries. Maybe they didn't invade us, but they're bad. And them pesky children, you have to take care of them. Of course, that's an exaggeration. I use it as an example. And she followed me, and she said they tried, you know, not to get him to join the service. Now, most of these kids that are committing suicide, whether they have a Christian upbringing or are influenced by the Christian influence, the dying Christian influence in the United States, they still have a conscience, and they don't have warped personalities or beliefs yet. But they feel so guilty about killing these women and children, because I asked the woman that I talked to, you know, that he admitted to it, and, you know, it bothered him. But these, the VA, not the, the doctors and the personnel, are not putting their all into it and being very helpful. But it's just like you've been talking about. It's mass brainwashing, mass stupidity, mass ignorance. The crowd goes along. But the edicts from the powers that be, from the top down, well, medicate these poor kids, and we'll kill them that way, you know. We'll screw up their minds, and we'll sell a lot of drugs, and the drug companies will be happy about that. And we went on in this type of conversation, and I put her on to RBN, and I tangle with RBN all the time. But I said, with this caveat, I said, you're going to be informed about a lot of things, but I said, use your own discernment. You make the decisions yourself. And I said, you know, you'll be led, like on the computer, you can be led down a lot of rabbit holes. But if you want to get to the truth, you have to put forth effort, and you want it's necessary to have the desire to get it. But the first place to start is introspection. Start with yourself. But anyhow, I could yap on here for a while, yeah, but you give me a hell of a lot of time, and have a great day, my friend. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Fred. Thanks, Fred. I appreciate it, and you too. I hope you have a fantastic day. I appreciate your remarks, your anecdotal experience, I suppose. And thanks for sharing that. And I'm glad that you're seeing that's great news too. And I hope that those that you imparted your wisdom to are seeing too, perhaps in other ways. And just real quick, you know, for all of, I think it's an interesting and provocative irony for so many, speaking of, you know, that the conversations that Fred talked about, for so many of the technological advancements that we have, it's interesting. Do people stop and ask the interesting and provocative irony? We think of ourselves so advanced in this country in so many ways, so smart, professing to be wise, they became fools. Kind of reminds me of Romans chapter 1 and some of the Proverbs, Proverbs 13, for example. You know, you read through and see for example, you know, good understanding produces favor, but the way of the treacherous is hard. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool displays his folly, et cetera, et cetera. For all of our technological advancements, the United States, and I do mean the United States, still has one of the highest infant mortality rates in the industrialized world. We have, you know, one of the leading causes of death is prescription medication. The military suicide epidemic that Fred mentioned. And so many other things, you know, the birth defects and things related particularly to glyphosate, and obviously in conjunction with many other things like vaccines, for example, and the neurotoxins in them, an interesting and provocative irony, in my opinion. So many advancements, and yet we have so many soft kills all around us. Shouldn't that be a huge warning sign, I would think? And yet here we are plagued by these issues, and we seem to be a little troubled by them. Again, the vacuous nature of our society. Let's go back to the phones real quick and grab Renee in North Carolina. Renee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
So enjoyed your call, Fred. I loved that story. You did great at the VA. You notice where he hit a snag, though? Of course, everybody, that general statement, well, I don't like war. Yeah, yeah. Well, who would agree to that? Almost you'd have to be insane. You know, well, like some of our military-industrial complex, who profits is. But the thing is, when did it get dicey? When you start getting close, saying stuff that makes it closer, don't join the military, where some of their actions might have been inappropriate, or it got close to touching their pocketbook, that's when the wall goes up, okay? So also, if Hillary had won, we have to be careful of our biases here. If Hillary had won and millions of white conservative men had showed up to protest, they'd be, everybody in conservatives would be going, isn't this great, all this dissent? This is how America is supposed to work. There is bias on both sides. I love the way you opened the program about the checkered, our checkered past. I thought, man, that's such a great little short meme to describe it. But too many only want to look at the good our country did. They like to listen to the little feel good. It's like an IV drip for them. They you know, feel good fairy tales that people like David Barton put out, the pseudo historian who has been caught lying multiple times. The thing is, you have, and as a person, if we can't face the truth about what some of our ancestors did, both good and bad, how likely is it we are the type of personality who will be honest when we examine ourselves and the good and bad that we have done? See, I say highly unlikely. Now, see, I'm going to give an example here of, like I say, I come from French Catholic heritage, okay? But I can look at both sides. I have recently discovered on YouTube these videos on the Haitian Revolution. I'm going, darn. Nobody ever told me about this, because what these slaves did to overthrow Napoleon, who was French, okay, was amazing, and they set up a republic, okay? We're never taught that, and how they have been being punished ever since. People go, oh, yeah, they just poor black, they can't do nothing. When you understand the history of what they did, what they happened was France told him, yeah, well, we're going to try to evade you again unless you sign this agreement where you have to pay us back what is equivalent to billions of dollars, and it took them 100 years, for the financial loss of our property, you people, because we lost you as slaves, now you have to pay us back. And how this has continued through time, how all the colonial powers will literally gang up on any of these Caribbean islands who would resist. Okay, they would combine to gang up against them because they didn't want any of them to succeed, because it would set a precedent and give hope to others. I was like, well, no wonder they didn't tell me about this. But the thing is, it depends on how you look at it. I'm kind of looking at it going, well, we're a bunch of wusses. They go, oh, chest thump. Look what we did with the American Revolution. It's like, okay, so you have these WASP settlers on the East Coast stand up against their WASP oppressors in Britain, okay? And it's such a big deal that we won. The slaves in Haiti almost made a bigger deal, okay, against Napoleon. I mean, you talk about starting fight with nothing, okay, but then that's left out. But see, they don't want to. To me, that shows us, well, look, what's our excuse? Why can't we do something about this corrupt government if those slaves were able to stand up against Napoleon? I mean, that could be inspiring, or if you're a white supremacist, scare the bejesus out of you. So the thing is, I can look at what France military and government did evil. On the other hand, I can see how my Acadian ancestors were here first. They were living peacefully with the Indians. They treated them respectfully, found them good trading partners and everything else. The French and Indian War was not the French and Indian fight. It was the British coming in and the French and the Indians defending themselves against the British. The thing is...
We're headed into a break. Hold that thought. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com. Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that limescale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate limescale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Final segment of today's broadcast, and we're on the phones. We have Renee in North Carolina. Renee, you make great points. We're going back to the phones here in a second. Parting thought before we do?
Yeah, I do. It's all about power and who wins the power struggle, and they get to write the history, and they get to say what they want. Like, because the French and the Indians lost, and see, my Acadian relatives were put on because they wouldn't take the oath of allegiance that the British required because they were fearful they would have to fight against the French and the Indians for England if war broke out again. And so they were rounded up, put on boats, where thousands of them drowned, a kind of genocide against the French Canadians, okay? And so the thing is, now, you know, everybody says, well, you need to assimilate. You need to assimilate. You know, the British did not assimilate. The French and the Indians were here first. If the British had followed their own advice, we'd be speaking French because the French were here first, okay? But then they lost, okay? So, because I remember my mother telling me, this is from no history book, okay? Because, see, they were put on boats and shipped down to the swamps of Louisiana. The thing is, I remember my mother telling me how in school she came from, her first language was French. That's all she knew was French. She was from French people, and how she was forbidden, and it scared her because she had to go to school where she was forbidden to speak French. So, see, they even did to the French what they did to the Indians. They're always trying to destroy the people who are conquered's culture. They even did it to the French. Okay, I know this for a fact because my mother told me. And so the thing is, you know, we need to, you know, this all we need to assimilate stuff is sometimes annoys me because they did not do it, but they expect others to do it. They use double standards and two sets of rules, and the powerful are the ones who set the rules, and they're not necessarily the ones who are most moral or who were righteous in winning the power struggle.
Absolutely not. Yep. And their efforts to preserve culture after the fact, I find specious and disingenuous as well. Thanks for your call, Renee. You make great points. Absolutely. I agree. I mean, that cultural preservation nonsense after the fact is what I would consider particularly odious as well. Let's go back to the phones real quick in the remaining moments here and grab John in Tennessee. John, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, I appreciate it. I hope you're not flooding out there. Anyway, Renee, I agree with you. It is about control, but it's really all an illusion, okay? It goes back to the manifest destiny. We're here. And we have more power. This is the new world. British exceptionalism, you know, or French exceptionalism. It boils down to, folks, it is spiritual in nature. And I'm going to say it till the cows come home. It's spiritual in nature.
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
And you don't win a spiritual battle with earthly weapons. Thank you.
Nope. Thanks, John. Absolutely. I completely agree. You know, you think of the Baconian New Atlantis, you know, Manly P. Hall, Secret Destiny of America concept and coming forward, you know, like John said, Manifest Destiny to now what? I mean, we had the, you know, the Homesteading Acts. Fast forward to now. People are being pushed out ever since the 1992 Rio Earth Summit. And you can see the shift. Anyway, I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science. Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.